Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. This show will explore the spirit and idea of wine and food. Wine by itself, food by itself, together. Our guests will help you decide. We'll talk about your palate and how it helps you decide whether something is delicious or not. Another consideration, your past, the memories from yesteryear, will help you remember and identify tastes and flavors. Coming up in this show, I will talk to two winemakers, legendary Mark Mondavi of Charles Krug Winery and Divining Rod Winery, and Joy Merrillis of Shannon Ridge Family of Wines, and to Executive Chef Nick Steen from the Northern Hotel in Billings. All three recently participated in the 2016 Montana State University Billings Foundation Wine and Food Festival. I'll begin this conversation about food with wine with Chef Steen, who prepared the food complementing the wines made by the two featured winemasters for this year's Winemasters Symposium. I sat down with Chef Steen and asked him about his thoughts on wine and food.
Wine and food are two of my favorite things in the entire world. They're the two easiest things in the world to work with as a chef. You have amazing wines, and food is so much easier if you have amazing wine to work with. And so for me, I sit back, I look at it, and I go, okay, I can drink wine all day. And if I have something to eat, I'm so much happier.
Yeah, but I think that you probably could turn some really not so good wine with your fabulous food into really great wine. I find that, you know, you could take a very expensive bottle of wine and pair it with the wrong food, and it's not that expensive or that valuable anymore.
I've done it before. I've taken things, you know, being a kid, took a bottle of Boone's Farm and paired Boone's Farm to a strawberry shortcake or something. I mean, food is a great medium.
You were drinking wine when you were a little kid?
Well, no, definitely never did that. I never, ever did that. Not once. At least didn't get caught doing it.
Okay. All right. We won't tell anybody. So you must have this innate ability to just pick up flavors. And have you always had that ability?
I didn't know I did until I really started cooking. I knew things I liked. My first attempts at cooking were miserable. I tried to cook hash browns once when I was a kid, and I didn't know you had to put oil in the pan. So okay. I just smoked out the entire house.
And well, you learned quickly.
I really did. So, you know, for me, the ideas of flavors were very simple. My mom's an amazing cook, and so we didn't get exposed to a lot of different things, but the things we were exposed to were really good.
And you enjoyed eating a lot of different foods, or were you a very picky eater when you were a kid?
I love everything. I always have been. I don't think I was ever once picky my entire life. My brother, on the other hand, the kid, you couldn't feed him a mushroom and onion, he'd run screaming.
So that must be the secret, because you probably are very open to trying new and different foods.
Yeah, I've never come across a food of anything that I did not like.
Oh, that's awesome.
Ever.
Yeah, and that's great, because I think that you could just explore the world by tasting food.
Yeah, and as I've gotten older and really gotten into the chef business, I've been so fortunate at the places I've worked to be able to work with the most amazing ingredients in the world, whether it's truffles or foie gras or amazing wines or different fruits or whatever it might be. I've been very fortunate to work with amazing ingredients and taste so many different things that now when I taste wine, I pick up these other notes and these other aromas and these other things. And it's been a crazy learning curve, and wine is so much more fun than food to me, because it's so much more expressive.
Oh.
It is so expressive, and you can do so much with a bottle of wine as a taster. You're always picking up different nuances and different things, but all it is grapes. How do you do that with grapes? It blows my mind.
It is pretty amazing.
I can add sugar and salt and make something awesome, but literally these winemakers just have grapes. And just oak barrels or stainless steel. It blows my mind every time. Yeah.
So, okay, let's talk about some of the dishes that you prepared for the symposium. Super creative, and I just love them because I was able to have the honor and opportunity to taste the great creations. So why don't we just begin with the very first dish? This was paired with a 2014 Divining Rod Chardonnay, and you concocted an apple canopy, and that consisted of puff pastry, soft cheese, thyme, miso, and burnt cheese. Tell me about it.
So when we were tasting these wines, it was a collective. We sat down with four of us, and we tasted the wines, And we really started just talking about everything. And
these are four people you work with.
Yeah.
So
this, this was our banquet chef, myself, our special events manager, and our food and beverage director. And the four of us all sat down, Heather and Christine and Anita and myself all sat down and we started tasting wines. And the best thing about this is when you create a menu, you have that many more people who are picking up those many different things in a glass of wine. I tasted something completely different than everyone else.
So what were some of the nuances in flavors that you picked up?
To me, the Chardonnay was captivating. I loved it. I got these flavors like umami. And the first thing that came to mind is I needed to have miso and cheese. And those are two things that should never go together, evidently.
And umami is that savory component
that
you find in
food. It's that sixth flavor that they're discovering now.
Like
and
in spaghetti sauce. And like you said, like in miso.
Yeah, it's that fermented, savory. It's beef without being beef.
I love it.
It's hard to explain. The flavor, the wonderful flavor, MSG,
okay,
is umami.
Right. In a good way.
In the best ways. So for me, I was like, I needed this to have apples. It tasted like a Granny Smith apple, and it tasted like parts of Japan, and it tasted like it needed something fatty to help cut the acidity. And so anytime we get acidity, you need to complement it and contrast it in my mind. And so you add a fatty cheese. And we ended up taking brie and just burning it, torching it to the best way so you actually release a lot of the natural sugars in the brie. And then the texture was right on point. And then we cooked the apples down with miso and apple cider vinegar, again, to add more of the acidity back into the same dish. So you got this full rounded flavor, and then a vessel to carry it was puff pastry. It was, to me, it seemed really obvious that it needed something fatty, rich, and flaky.
Which fits a Chardonnay.
It
has those apple characteristics, and
it
just has that buttery feel in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So you brought those all together.
Yeah, and you know, Mark Mondavi did an amazing job with these. My job was easy. He did all the work with these wines. I just had to put some stuff on a plate. I got really fortunate that I had amazing wines to work with.
I think you're being a little modest here. Well, your next offerings, to me, seem more traditional, and the pairings, I think, were a little bit more expected. So you had the Divining Rod Pinot Noir with a pork belly,
mm-hmm.
which I find, you know, with the pork and the fat, that just went really well with that wine. And then the Ribeye with a Charles Krug Generations blend. That was basically a Cabernet, Sauvignon, Malbec, and Merlot blend,
mm-hmm.
and all fabulous combinations. But what I want to talk to you about in this set of dishes was that you paired a 2012 Cabernet Sauvignon with duck breast. And with that, it was a bittersweet chocolate rosemary demi savory cream. So tell the listeners about this.
So this one was fun. This wine, you know, I think Cabernet Sauvignon, and usually people go straight to, I need a big fatty steak. Well, I get a big cab, and I think I want this luscious, beautiful piece of duck. Duck cooked, you know, medium rare, medium, is flawless. It has just enough fat into it. It has enough flavor. It is the most well-rounded thing in the world. I love duck almost as much as I love anything else in the world as far as food goes. And when we tasted the wine, we were getting hints of cocoa, earthiness. It's hard to describe it as anything else than earthiness, but when I think earthy, I think herbaceousness. Rosemary fits great with chocolate. It fit great into the wine. And then the savory cream, again, it was adding some fat back into the whole thing because the duck isn't as fatty as a ribeye.
Yes, and the wine has some structure to it,
too. It has a lot of structure to it. So we had to do something that could hold up to it. And it was basically like a savory whipped cream. And so we did a lot of herbs and heavy whipping cream and a little bit of salt. And so we did the unexpected with the expected. And I always want you to, when you taste food that I make, I want you to feel like you've done something like that before, but there's always a little twist to it.
Full of surprises.
Yeah. You may have tasted this. I want to invoke a memory or create something that it's a new memory or you remember something from before. And so the idea of having like this savory cream, you're like, oh, this beautiful cream sauce with this wine is awesome. Wait, it's like whipped cream though. It's light and fluffy like I would expect on a dessert. And so it's a mind trip. It messes with you a little bit and it makes you think about it. And when you play with wine and do these wine dinners, we have a lot more opportunity as chefs to really go above and beyond and really push it a little bit more. And so while something seems really simple like duck, we do a little bit differently than everybody else. So
and that's part of it is the memory. bringing back. And the more exposure you have to different foods, the more your memories can like build up this whole vocabulary or taste in your mind.
Exactly.
So because you have tasted so many different things, your vocabulary is huge.
Yeah. And I'm still so elated at the fact that I get to taste all these amazing foods all the time. And I can't wait till the next new thing I get to taste, that there's these other flavors that I've never gotten to experience. And so wine always leads me to doing something new too. I never worked with currants until I tasted an Oregon Pinot Noir. Okay. And, you know, so currants was just, I'd never tasted one. And the tasting notes say, well, it tastes like currants. So I bought currants, tasted them, and said, wow, that really tastes like currants. This is really cool. So wine gives me more opportunity to taste more things because it always has more expressiveness. And then it allows me to have basically a blank slate to work with all these different ingredients and manipulate them in a different way, whether it's through molecular gastronomy or through just traditional cooking techniques. We can do things differently. You know, the duck was sous vide for 3.5 hours in duck fat and in herbs, and it sat there. And then we just seared the breast so it was crispy. And it was very traditional duck done very non-traditionally.
Well, it was super tender.
Yeah.
And I think that was your secret there with the sous vide method.
Mm-hmm. And then the rosemary demi, just it needed, again, some structure and some depth. And chocolate and rosemary are amazing. And then you throw in rich veal stock, and it's unbelievable. And this did everything it needed to do with that wine.
Well, certainly that is not a combination that most of us think about. And it was really, truly fabulous. So we went through and had several other courses. These were divided into, you know, two courses with four dishes each. What really, really intrigued me with the second offering was your dessert. and this was a banana pancake with a coconut meringue, bruleed banana, pistachio pesto with mango coulis. And this accompanied a Shannon Ridge 2014 Sauvignon Blanc. I do not think of Sauvignon Blanc as a wine to pair with dessert. It usually is the beginning of a meal for me. So why this combination?
So one of the things I love to do, again, is a little trick. I want to trick you. And I tasted this, and this wine by no means is a sweet wine. It has virtually no residual sugars. It had no sweetness, but it had amazing tropical flavors. It had amazing acidity. And so
super crisp and refreshing.
Oh, it
wine.
Was humble. I could drink that all day long. I would never, I didn't need food with this wine. The fact that I got to put food with the wine made me smile. This was one of those wines that I relish the opportunity to work with because it's so expressive and it gives me so much more ideas. And we sat down, and when the four of us tasted this wine, I sat there, I closed my eyes, and I just wanted to taste it, you know, and not have any other distraction, to close my eyes and shut myself off from the rest of the world. And I just tasted the tropics. I got notes of bananas and mangoes and guavas and all these great tropical fruits. And next thing I know, as I'm transported to a time when I was in Maui and I'm sitting on the ocean with my wife and, you know, we're drinking a glass of wine on the ocean and, you know, things could never be better. And next thing I know is in the background, Jack Johnson comes on and I'm hearing Banana Pancakes, the song. And I'm like, oh my God, I need to do Banana Pancakes with this wine. And my brain just started going a million miles an hour. And everybody's like, are you crazy? Why would you do a dessert with this? I said, because everything else we're doing is going to be super savory. Why don't we have something? This will be the last thing we feature. Let's do it sweet and let's play a trick. And we tricked people into thinking this was a sweet wine. If you tasted it by yourself, there was no sugars in this. This was bright, crisp, refreshing, great way to start a dinner. Or for me, it's a great way to finish it. It had so many amazing fruits, and fruit is the best medium for a dessert in the entire world other than chocolate. But it was an amazing medium. And I sat there, and I'm not kidding you, I closed my eyes and I was like, I'm listening to Jack Johnson sitting on the ocean, drinking wine all over again, and I really want to eat banana pancakes. And I'm pretty sure I forced at least 100 people to listen to that song now and drink that wine and go, okay, tell me you're not doing the same thing. And I got a couple
You've
crazy looks.
A whole new culture at this point. Now, why pistachio pesto? What was in that?
The pistachio pesto, we do a it's really refreshing. So it's not so much a pesto as it is like just crushed pistachios with stuff.
All right. What stuff?
Honey, mint, and a little white balsamic vinegar. And the mint, again, paired really well with it. It was a accompaniment to this beautiful wine,
which usually has grassy notes and herbaceous notes. So you brought that in.
Exactly. And the pistachios have a lot of that earthiness. And then the honey, I mean, the wine also had flavors of honey. And so it was like, well, it's easy. If it tastes like this, put it in the dish. Just in some find some way to incorporate it as another medium into something else. So adding honey in with mint and pistachios, and again, adding a little bit of vinegar to it brightens the whole thing up. And it, again, it plays a trick. You're expecting like this super savory, cheesy pesto like you'd get with pine nuts. And instead you're getting this sweetened, earthy, refreshing,
I love pistachios,
quote unquote pesto, yeah. Full of honey and mint. And people are going, what? Oh, this is really good. Wait, what am I having?
Chef Steen trick once again.
Yeah, I love it. It's fun.
So the takeaway is I see that, you know, the closing of the eyes and transporting yourself and being with what you're tasting in some ways helps you taste a wine.
It's very true. The first time I ever really tasted wine, I was sitting in a kitchen in Big Sky, and I was a younger chef. Was really just learning how to cook. I was, I won't give an age because whatever, I won't get anybody in trouble. and I'll never forget watching the sous chef close his eyes and taste the wine. And I was like, well, why did he do that? And I asked him, I said, why do you close your eyes when you taste this? Because if I close my eyes, I can shut off everything else and I can taste the wine.
So it's really paying attention to really what you're tasting.
Exactly. And now people make fun of me for it, but I always close my eyes when I taste the wine.
So it's just being aware.
You can focus so much on what you're doing, and you appreciate the nuances that winemaker put into it. And you can taste so many other things. You close your eyes and you shut yourself off from everything else. And you become just so focused on what you're doing with that wine that it talks to you in a way. And whether it's a song or sitting in the ocean or, you know,
it's being in the moment.
You know, exactly. Some people talk about wines tasting and smelling of shoe leather. Well, they you know, it's funny. They smell like a shoe leather, and it makes you feel like you're in a shoe store. And with refinement, you know, a beautiful pair of shoes makes me think of a great wine. You know, people who drink wine always have nice shoes. I love shoes, too. Shoes. I have a shoe problem. My wife doesn't like it, but I love shoes.
We'll have to talk about that at some other time. Executive Chef Steen, thank you so much for being with me. And I think you've enlightened our listeners about wine and food. And it's not to fear it, but to enjoy it.
Exactly. Thank you, Stella.
Join me in the second half when I talk to Mark Mondavi and Joy Merrillis on their thinking on tasting and enjoying wine and food.
We are supported by Zonta Club of Billings, dedicated to advancing women's education, equality, health, and wellness, providing grants for community agencies, student scholarships, local nonprofit assistance, and awareness and education for domestic violence and human trafficking.
Welcome back to Flavors Under the Big Sky. I'm Stella Fong. In this portion of the show, I will be joined by two winemakers to talk about how wine complements food and vice versa. With me is Joy Merrillis, the Director of Winemaking and Production at Shannon Ridge Family of Wines in Lake County. She is one of two female winemakers in this unique region north of Napa Valley, with Clear Lake as the geographic feature. Joy shares how our past can influence how we identify tastes and later provides hints on remembering the wines we taste.
You know, I've read some things about how women have more sort of memory receptors for sensory evaluation. So, you know, sight, sound, taste, and smell, that we, you know, we can associate those, that taste and smell with so many other memories. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, we can sort of recall previous blends or things that we've, you know, sort of put together or what goes well together in terms of tastes and aromatics. And I mean, I think that's kind of, I mean, I don't know if it's true, but it's sort of a nice thought when we're putting together blends and we're able to do it sort of pretty efficiently and but also sort of have this sort of nuances of sort of each of the components of wines. It's kind of hard to explain in terms of, you know, every single wine that we would put together in terms of blend, we taste them all individually, and then we sort of pick which go together. Mm-hmm. You know, we sort of like just discuss it openly, like, oh, this character for this wine would go great with this character for this wine. And then we finally like put them together and we're like, oh yeah, once we put them together, there's also many more flavors that sort of come out.
Have you always loved food as?
Yeah, I'm a big foodie. And beer too.
And,
I mean,
and
just
open
like,
to different.
Absolutely. There's probably not a food or a flavor that I don't enjoy. And
which has helped you in your winemaking, I'm
sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most of the winemaking is, and all of your flavor profile and flavor experience is based on experience in your life. So all of the things that you've eaten from or tasted, put in your mouth from the time that you were a kid till now, is sort of helps with those sensory memory receptors. And I think that's sort of the advantage that women have in terms of winemaking. And we can make powerful wines, but we can also make delicate wines. Mm-hmm. We don't really get kind of lumped into a style. We can do quite a few different things.
So do you have advice for people who are just getting into wines? Because there are so many fancy descriptors for wines. Is going out and tasting a lot of different food?
Tasting things side by side, especially wines. You know, if you really want to analyze a wine, tasting it up against another wine is the best way to learn. And because if you taste one wine by itself, you have it, you've got those flavors, you can analyze those flavors just fine. But if you go taste that wine the next day or, in a week or two, I mean, maybe that if it's the same bottle, then it's definitely going to taste different. But if you taste two wines side by side, then you can really pick out, okay, which one of these wines do I like better? And you can say, you can actually specifically say why. If you taste one wine one day and the other wine the next day, you're not using sort of that comparison.
It's not the same setup or environment.
Exactly. And so by tasting things side by side, you can really say, oh, this wine actually has more cherry flavor and this wine has more blackberry flavor. Well, I like more blackberries. So this is why I like this one better. And just actually putting words to it and putting descriptors to it, just even to help yourself remember, not necessarily to, be a better wine, have better wine speak, so they say. Definitely helps in development.
Well, it sounds like you have a great memory. I know I don't, and I tend to take notes as much as I can. Do you take notes, or is your memory that incredible?
No, I take a lot of notes. I do remember a lot of little details, but I've got lists and notes and notes in my phone and my list of notebook, and I keep a lot of lists.
Next, I have the honor to talk to Mark Mondavi. Mark is royalty in Napa Valley. His grandfather purchased Charles Krug Winery in 1943. Mark's father, Peter, who passed away this year at 101 years old, fought to preserve the family legacy, making sure Charles Krug Winery remained in the family. Now Mark's children and his brothers, Peter Jr.'s kids, are active in the business. Here are Mark Mondavi's thought on wine and food.
Well, wine is very universal. You can enjoy wine by itself, but, my grandfather taught me a long time ago that wine and food is really the ideal situation. And, so we have wine with dinner. I mean, I can't even remember a dinner that my father did not have usually two or three different wines. And he would always teach us kids, taste this and eat this and tell me what you think. Did the wine go with it or did it not? Did it conflict with the... And so not every wine goes with every dish, but certainly wine enhances food and food enhances wine.
And I think that our own palates usually know that. We can tell if something goes together or not.
They do. Yeah. You don't, you can taste it, and go, God, that just doesn't seem to blend well. And, God, that wine and that particular food was wonderful.
Yeah, it has that yum factor is what I call it.
It does.
So as the wine master for our 2016 Wine and Food Festival, and you'll be at the big tent tonight, you know, serving up wine, what do you want the people who come to take away?
Well, it's all about, you know, a little bit of education. You know, I can sit there and preach to the world, but as long as the people get some tidbit of information out of what I say, then I view it as a win. And the wine world is very complicated. There's maybe close to 10,000 wineries in the U.S., 40-plus thousand in France, 40-plus in Italy. You know, my God, how do you begin to digest
that?
You
can't. That's a lot of wine to drink.
But, you know, so wine from all over. We all try and say we make the best wine in Napa Valley. We make the best wine in Bordeaux. Nobody makes the best wine. Each appellation has its own character and flavor and aromatics. And wine is an experience. So, you know, try multiple wines. You may develop a flavor profile for, you know, an Oregon Pinot Noir over a Burgundy or a Carneros Pinot Noir. Is that right or wrong? No. Just, you know, your preference.
It's what you like.
Everybody's taste buds are a little different. I like chocolate. You may not. Does that mean chocolate's bad? No. But, you know, I like meat. You don't like meat. It's individual preference, and you need to weed through it. Don't let the wine intimidate you. You know, it's an experience. You know, you learn a little bit on every wine you taste.
I love this. Mark Mondavi has said this, that really it's what you enjoy. It's savor, savor and enjoy.
It is.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for being with me here today. It's been a privilege to talk to you. Thank you so much. What an honor it was to talk to Joy Marillis of Shannon Ridge Family of Wines and Mark Mondavi of Charles Krug Winery and Divining Rod Winery. And of course, Nick Steen from the Northern Hotel. By the way, Chef Steen has everyone listening to Jack Johnson's banana pancakes after his infamous dessert. So the takeaway from this show is savor the moment, for wine is an experience that is based on all experiences in life. Let your senses tell you whether you like a wine, a food, or wine and food together. Cheers to you all. The producer for Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region, is Jackie Yamanaka. Our theme music is by Parker Brown. For more information about this program and links, go to our website, ypradio.org. Join us every third Monday of the month for Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong.